right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 195, and I am TBD in Tokyo, Japan, and of course there is Wombat.
I am here.
And there is Shipwreck.
I am here too, back in Cincinnati.
And the ones with jalapenos
are the ones that are ruling?
Exactly. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I was actually just thinking how much, I think I'm the only one who's actually looking forward to doing this show today, because it's very late New York time and Ohio time.
Well, it's late because you're late.
Well, you know, Ty wouldn't leave the house, and I had to bring him to daycare, and daycare is now far, so it takes me at least, you know, about almost an hour round trip to get that job done.
It's almost like you have a commute.
It's almost, almost. So, but I was just thinking right before we started the show that I was, maybe it's the grande latte and sausage pie that I had that's talking. But I'm, I look forward to these little fun times that we have together. You know,
it's not the company.
No, it is. I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying.
Okay. So when you say Ty wouldn't leave the house, like he's what, two?
He's face down on the floor, throwing a fit that he wants more cereal.
Oh, you couldn't get him out of the house.
Right.
Okay.
What did you think was happening?
Well, when you word it like Ty wouldn't leave the house, it's like you're just sitting there waiting for him to leave.
No, like to walk out the door?
Yeah, just like, get out of here, Ty. What are you doing?
I need to get
him.
Got to
do a show.
You got to get his coat on. You got to get him, you know, to get ready to go. And he was just being a bad boy. But anyway, I have a problem. And I have a lot of problems, but maybe you could help me with this. But actually, I almost didn't talk about this. But then, you know, when I put it out there on Twitter, what do people want us to talk about? People were asking for more poop stories. So I guess I have to oblige them. So for like over the last 2 weeks or week and a half, and I don't know if you have this. I know Shipwreck doesn't have this problem, but Wombat might have this problem. I clogged the toilet about three or four times during the last 2 weeks because I've been making these just monster dumps, which has led me to believe that I'm eating too much.
Well, I guess the real question is, what are you eating that there's such monster dumps? Now, is this solid? Is it liquidy?
No. Obviously, if it's clogging the toilet, it's substantial.
The substance. This is solid.
It's a solid thing. And then, I thought, like, you know what? It's kind of gross. I'm not even going to bring it up. And then yesterday morning, I made a duty. And, you know, I employ, like, the double flush technique. So, like, I don't, you know, I try to flush as I flush and go. You know what I'm saying? But so after the first wave yesterday, the duty got like sort of lodged over the hole. So think about like if you put like a chopstick over a drinking glass, you know.
And how did that happen?
I don't know. It was just like the perfect storm, and the suction was not strong enough to break it in half. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't long enough that. Like, it was like a physics problem. Like, it was just long enough to cover the hole, but not long enough.
What do you, like, do? What do you hover over the toilet seat to?
It was just the way it came out. And I thought I was going to have to, like, poke it with a stick or something. But I flushed it, like, five times. And finally, I think it just, like, you know, the water maybe, like, ate away at it enough.
Are you eating more fiber, more vegetables?
More than what?
More than you were prior to this problem starting.
I don't know. It's possible. You know what? I haven't eaten a lot of salads lately.
That's what's causing it. It's all the fiber.
Too much salad? Too much fiber.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe you need to go more often.
Yeah, I think that's another problem.
What kind of schedule are you on here?
I don't know. Sometimes it could be like 2 days.
Okay, yeah, that's the problem.
Get on the daily schedule.
Well, how do you do that?
Be on.
You get a
job
day.
In a cubicle, and then you get really bored, and you decide, hey, it's time for my daily dump.
That actually worked, I remember.
That kind of works. Yeah. I'm like a good two-a-day guy, so.
You print out all your, well, not that with the iPhone, you don't even need to do that anymore. You don't even need to print out.
Well, no, I'll still print out like a good Bill Simmons mailbag from ESPN and sit on the crapper and read it.
I was thinking like to try to one-time it. In that, like, you know, like, as the turd is hitting the water to hit flush, And maybe, like, with the added momentum, it'll just go right down. But that's pretty hard to do, I think. I don't think I could pull that off.
Yeah, you need to drink more coffee.
Isn't it going to get all over the sides of your toilet then?
Do what?
Won't it get all over the sides of your toilet then? Because it's not hitting water, it's hitting porcelain?
Well, if that's, you got to really time it perfectly. Just as a splashdown.
I don't know if you have this skill.
No, I don't. I need a camera in the toilet to do that. And we don't
you need
have...
to have someone in the bathroom with
who
you.
Who doesn't need a camera listening. In their toilet?
Right. Yeah, looking up. I don't know. It's just I need to work that out because I can't be plunging the toilet is always a very stressful experience because you don't want to get the duty on the plunger, but sometimes it's just like impossible. You know?
I don't. That's what it's for. I've lived in this house now for 2 years. I've never clogged a toilet.
You're kidding.
Over 2 years. Nope.
Shipwreck, I know, never clogged a toilet because he probably makes little like rabbit duties.
Yeah, he makes little what? Gentile poops.
So like pellets.
Right. Now, I've clogged our toilet a couple times. We have a plunger. It works fine.
Yeah, but then you get it dirty, and then what do?
You wave it around in the water until it's clean.
You just stick it in the shower with you in the next morning.
No. Right.
No. I don't know. I'm worried about my parents coming over. Well, they don't. I don't. I'm more worried about Osaka Grandma being over when that happens.
When is this show airing? Is this now Monday for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, my parents are coming today, and next week they'll be here for almost 2 weeks, and we're going to Okinawa on a little trip during the middle of their visit. So, yeah, this show is if you're listening to this show right when it launches, it's probably Monday for you.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So, little disclaimer for us right now: it's Thursday night. What is
don't,
it?
No,
April
no, no,
8?
Don't tell people that.
No, this
we're
is
gonna good. Have to tell people that
they're gonna need to know because you know we're gonna talk about things that are not gonna be remotely hip anymore.
Yes, they will be. You know? I mean, nothing's gonna happen. Nah.
No, I guarantee you that neon rubber bracelets are gonna be out of style by the time we do this, as will Zubaz pants
and jelly shoes.
Jelly shoes. I mean, all these things that are hip right now.
Right. I don't know. Well, anyway, that's my poop problem.
Hypercolor T-shirts.
Yeah, and poop, poop not going.
There was a Chinese lady that had a bit of a poop problem on the plane to New York this week when I went up there.
What happened?
It was more of a toilet paper problem. She had probably a good 6 squares of toilet paper hanging out the back of her pants.
How did I never understand how that could happen?
It happens.
Like you get stuck in your crack and then you pull your pants up over it.
I have no idea. She was cracking me up. She was like sitting diagonally across the row from me, in front of me. And
was this an older woman?
Older woman, yes. Older woman. Okay. She was there with like her granddaughter and probably her daughter as well. But she was super protective of her purse. Right. And so, like I don't know. I have no idea where she thought somebody was going to steal her purse and get to while we were in an airplane. But she had you have to set everything underneath the seat in front of you,
right?
So they tell her that to begin with. Whatever she like wraps it or the strap around her arms and is just like clinging to it like tightly on her chest. So the flight attendant has to come back and say, no, you got to put it underneath the seat. And then she proceeds to like kind of do a figure eight with the strap around her thighs. And so she's got the purse like kind of stuck, like, I don't know, in between her feet, behind her feet, which
right.
is a no-go. Like, it doesn't work either.
Oh. It has to go in front of you.
It's got to go in front of you below your feet. Right. So finally, like after 4 times, she finally got the point. And then she just wrapped it around her ankle like 8 times and stuck it underneath the seat.
Wonder what was in there.
Probably ashes.
I don't. That made me interested in what was in there. I bet it was nothing, but it made
ashes.
Me more
I'm
interested in trying to steal it.
It was probably, you know, the husband slash father slash grandfather's ashes. They were flying to New York to disperse them off the Empire State Building, as it was written in his will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense then.
Yeah. See, now it's a good story.
Yeah.
And she had toilet paper hanging out of her ass.
Well, that was
yeah,
also
she was
in
good
the
for
will.
A couple laughs.
That was in the will too. Maybe part of his ashes needed to be flushed down the toilet from an airplane. That's how I want to go.
You want to be flushed out an airplane toilet? Is that how you want to go? Yeah.
Yeah. I always love the smell of those bathrooms. It's a really
Over any place in particular, or just doesn't matter?
Over your house.
Over my house. Okay.
I want to be mixed in with some frozen urine and duty and come down on you. Land in your backyard. Be like, what's up? I'm back. yeah. What else is going on?
Lots of stuff. I'm doing some work with UGO.
You're doing like real work.
I'm doing real work, yeah. Not writing for them anymore because we all came to the conclusion that that wasn't helping anybody.
Shipwreck got tired of doing your writing?
He never did my writing. He just proofread.
Right.
I did a lot of editing, yes.
I wonder which took longer, the editing from Shipwreck or the writing by Wombat?
I'll give you two guesses.
It rhymes with Mipmec. Yeah. Wombat basically threw up in a word processor, and then Shipwreck cleaned it up and polished it.
That's how it worked.
Right. Well, it was worth it for that $2.50 a post, though.
That's right. That's what they paid me. It was like $2 a post.
Right. What was your cut, Ship?
Oh, I was just happy to help.
Right. Happy. Quote, unquote, happy. Yeah, but so now you're doing a real work that involves not writing.
Yeah, some behind the scenes stuff.
Right, marketing.
Yes, and I'm helping them with two projects that everyone who's listening can help with too.
Yeah, do they do that?
Well, it's very simple. It's a 2-step process. One is you can check out theirs on the Facebook page that they have these exclusive. Remember, I went to that Kick-Ass screening in New York.
Yes, I do.
And they had that screen. They had a Q&A after with the writer and artist of the comic book.
Right.
Well, you can now watch that Q&A on the UGO Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and search for UGO Entertainment.
No, it was you. Well, tell them the URL.
Facebook.com/UGO.com.
Right. But you have to spell out .com.
Yeah, you have to spell out .com. DOTCOM.
And for some reason, it doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work for you, but it works for everyone else. And I actually put up a blog post about it that's probably buried by now. But if you look up Wombat's blogs, you'll find
it. Okay, and so that's to watch Kick-Ass videos.
That's to watch Kick-Ass videos. Yeah, you need to be a fan of UGO on Facebook to watch those. So if everyone listening does that, that would be super awesome.
And that's number one.
That's number one. Now, number two actually involves giving back a little bit to everybody. You actually may get something out of this. We're doing a contest with the Astro A30 headset company. And who make really nice gaming headsets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving away 5 pairs of headphones.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do to enter is follow UGO.com on Twitter. That's it. That's all you need to do. Just follow UGO.
Is that UGO. Spelled out like UGO.com?
Yeah, it's the letter U, the letter G, the letter O, DOTCOM, UGO.com.
And number three is you write UGO a letter and tell them to hire Wombat full time.
They can do that too. That would always help. Well, the thing is, the more Facebook fans and Twitter followers that come of this, the better it makes me look.
Right.
Really, is what it comes down to. It's really about helping me. If you want to help me out and enter a chance to win some really nice headphones, which, to be perfectly honest, if you follow early, the better your chances are because the drawings are going to be throughout the week. So the earlier you follow, you know, obviously the number should get bigger by the end.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you?
I might do that.
Yes, I will. I'll think about it.
Thanks.
I'll flip a coin, actually.
I appreciate the help. So, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for your support in advance. I appreciate it.
Do you want to read some show feedback from last week?
I would love to read show feedback from last week.
Shipwreck can correct you while you're reading.
I appreciate that. A lot of the comments from last week were about your April Fool's joke. I don't even know if you have that further down on here at all. Are you going to talk about that?
Well, we could talk about it now. In case you didn't know what the April Fool's joke was, Super Programmer John basically came up with the concept. He said, hey, you know, I can make it so whenever somebody is logged in, they'll see their username in a news post. And, you know, you could do something like, say, oh, so, such and such wins douchebag of the year or something like that. And I was like, oh, instead of doing that, let's just accuse him of committing a crime. So we basically...
Because that's how your mind works.
Well, because I always think that if you're going to do an April Fool's joke, like it's more of a prank. You know, those are the best ones. Not where you make like a funny post. Like, and I've done that. I've copped out and done some lame ones in the past. I think one year we just did like phony news stories, which, you know, may make somebody like smile, and but they're kind of lame. So I really, my goal is always to upset people. So we just had it say like, you know, such and such is under investigation for selling stolen goods on CAG. And it was probably our best April Fool's joke ever. You know, Super Programmer John did a great job of implementing it. And, you know, I'm going to say in total, I got about 300 emails and private messages. Basically, most of them, almost everybody fell for it, first of all. And the emails were mostly all the same. I don't know. There's some mistake. And some people were saying, I made a trade last week and, you know, I don't understand. I didn't think it was stolen goods, you know, and people would give me their phone numbers. They're saying, please call me anytime. I need to straighten this out. I mean, it was just people were panicking. And of course, like I set up a separate email. So when people would, and I said, you know, for more details, email us at tradescam@cheapassgamer or something like that. And if you email that address, you automatically got a response telling you that it was an April Fool's joke. What I didn't think of was that people just started private messaging me instead. They didn't even bother with the email. So I got like all these private messages of people freaking out. And I'm like, oh God. And it's so like clumsy to mass send private messages to people. So I like wound up disabling my private messages. And I had it, if you tried to send me a private message, I had like big red letters come up saying it's a joke, you know, don't freak out. And then I had to like email all the people manually who you know, sent it out, sent the messages before I got that warning up. So it sort of backfired a little bit on me in that it gave me a lot of stuff to do, but it was well worth it because so many people fell for it. And almost everybody who posted in the thread said that they thought it was the best April Fool's joke of the year.
Oh, it was really good. I mean, you showed it to us the night before, and I'm actually almost a little upset that you did because I would have probably liked it better if I had seen it that morning.
But it couldn't have possibly fooled you or Shipwreck.
It wouldn't have fooled me, but I think I may have liked the surprise better. But like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but you would have just thought I did it and everybody else saw your name. Because the way it worked is everybody saw their own name. And you would have just thought, because you're well known on the site, you would have thought, like, everybody
saw
your
name. I'm well known everywhere.
I know. Sorry. So anyway, it was a great joke, I thought. And the biggest surprise of all was that even my parents thought it was a good joke. And usually, like, if I do something mean-spirited or something that might result in a decline of, like, CAG viewership, my dad gets upset or my mom gets upset. Like, when I did the whole... Remember I did one, like, several years ago that Best Buy is going to buy the site and they're changing the name to Best Buy Gamer? My dad thought that was the worst idea ever. He's like, now people are going to see that. They're never going to come back. But they actually really liked, they sent me messages saying they really liked it. So everybody was
happy. No, it was pretty clever, especially for you. I was impressed.
Well, I had help from John. So
good work, John.
Yeah.
Once I heard that, I believed it.
Yeah,
John,
me too.
That John played a big role in it.
You can make fun of me for having Shipwreck as a proofreader, but really, who runs the site?
Well, I run the site.
Yeah, sure you do.
But John does all the heavy lifting. But he gets paid for it.
Yeah.
So
he earns it.
He does earn it. That's why he does, that's why he gets it.
He probably deserves a raise.
Maybe. All right, let's change the topic quickly.
So anyway,
Go on with the show feedback.
Captain Joel said, "Good show. I really loved hearing about PAX East with Wombat. Definitely my favorite part of this show. But the opening shower discussion made me laugh my ass off, and I gotta say, I really share Cheapy's feelings on the whole thing. I can't stand dudes staring at my package." So
yeah, I mean, if I had like a very large penis, then I would be, you know, I would love it. I would have no, I would, you know, go to hot springs all the time. I would just be like, bam, you know. But the fact is, it's not very impressive looking, and I don't want Japanese people to be like, you know, I want to make a good example for America. And if Japanese people think that the American penis is no bigger than their own, then we're going to lose all advantages over them.
Yeah, there goes that stereotype then.
Exactly. So we got to keep the dream alive. And that's why when I do go to a hot spring, I make everything in my power so that nobody sees my wiener. It's not easy, you know, to walk around facing the wall the whole time. But I do it.
Next one's from Thwack. I just wanted to say that I laughed really, really hard when Wombat said he was a Sammy, since my brother was also a Sammy at the University of Cincinnati. Also, my brother is a douchebag. I don't know if that's a valid information or not, but I wanted to throw that out there. No, that makes sense. I know a few Sammies from the University of Cincinnati. I'm kidding. No,
the ones at our school are all douchebags, too.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout-out to Squeedum49, who's a CAG forum member, and a Sammy at Drexel. And since I have passed out on the floor of the Drexel house, I feel I owe it to him to give him a shout-out.
Right. When you woke up, was your ass all covered in Vaseline?
Well, how many times have you passed out and not woken up with your ass all covered in Vaseline?
Right. Not many.
Exactly.
Excellent.
I've passed out and woken up in a different state and not knowing how I got there.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
I've never been able to really drink that much so that I, you know, I've been like, you know, I just get like sick like pretty quickly. Like once I get to that point where I'm incredibly drunk, I just get really dizzy and then I throw up.
I'm a tired drunk. I just fall asleep. That's
it. Yeah. I've never thrown up from drinking.
Never?
Really?
Never.
Wow.
Never.
You know what that means? It means you haven't had enough.
I've never gotten to that point. I can throw back some beer, but I think I just
I can't anymore.
Drink a little slower.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
When you come to Japan, we will we'll go with the sake beer combo. We'll see
I won that drinking contest against Christina Norman last year at E3 just because she puked all hers back up and I was good.
Yeah, I'm not very good. Maybe I'll get in on the action this year. Anyway, go on, Wombat.
Okay, and Nijai? I enjoyed listening to Wombat talk about PAX East, and the three of you should definitely have a panel next year. I am on the East Coast, but I am willing to go to Seattle just to listen to you guys if you choose to do it there. And I respect Wombat for standing up for the participants and talk about the problems with the press-only events. Keep up the good work. The 13-incher.
The great work and that work. Yeah.
And that work, yes. Yeah, I screwed up his joke.
Yeah, we'll see what. I mean, it's a lot. Everything's a long. Oh, PAX next.
PAX East would be next March.
Right. No, but he's saying he wants to go to. He'll go to Seattle.
Yeah, well I'm not going to Seattle in September this year.
Right. So we'll see. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so that's the show feedback. Before we continue, I want to mention something because I'm starting to feel guilty about something. So I have to mention this, and probably nobody even remembers this, but many weeks ago I talked about how one of our listeners, Brian, wrote a letter to Giant Bomb saying that I said something about the guys not owning the site, and then I wound up like scolding the guy on the air, and I think I really upset him, and I think the reality of the situation is that I might have actually said what I later said that I didn't. And then maybe corrected myself the episode after that. So anyway, the point is I just want to apologize to Brian because I know he felt very bad about it and he's a big fan of the show. So I just want to say sorry, Brian.
So that was an apology to Brian and not Giant Bomb.
Oh, no. They don't care. I corrected myself.
That was pretty confusing there.
I know. It was really – I just basically took a minute to address one person. He'll understand.
Welcome, Brian.
Yes, he'll understand. Nobody else really needs to understand.
Good on you, Brian. Keep being Brian.
There you go, Brian.
You know what else Brian likes?
What?
Donkey Kong.
He does. You know who else likes Donkey Kong?
Who?
Shipwreck.
I like Donkey Kong.
See, wait to chime in there.
Shipwreck's cat.
Yeah, I flowed in there, right? That was good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the Muhammad Ali of podcasting.
Yeah, he's, I got a Donkey Kong
like
machine.
Muhammad Ali now, you mean?
Yeah.
Hey, have you heard? I'm going to play a clip from Muhammad Ali's latest podcast. You want to hear it? Hold on. Let me just get it ready. Okay, here we go. It's pretty good, right?
He can talk, you know.
Oh, he can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What is he going?
No, he can talk, just not all that well.
Donkey Kong.
He's not right. Roger Ebert.
No.
Roger Ebert and Stephen Hawking are doing a podcast together soon.
That would be cool. What's it called? Speak and Spell? It's cool. I'm a big Roger Ebert fan, actually. And I saw that picture of him with no jaw, and it made me very, very sad.
Yes, and some of the stuff he writes is very good.
No, he's always been like my favorite movie critic. I mean, I used to watch that show all the time. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to Shipwreck's Donkey Kong and his Donkey Schlong.
Right. Yeah, I picked one of those up. I made a post about it today so everybody can read about it if they want and see pictures of me next to it and everything. But I got an original Donkey Kong machine for $400.
Pretty sweet.
It was here in my neighborhood. Somebody was getting rid of it, so... I'm pretty excited. It's fun. You guys should come over and play it.
I would like to. How are you good at it? Like, how long can you play for on a single playthrough?
I think I've made it to like through 7 screens or whatever. I'm not very good yet.
Right.
Yeah. I'm only getting up around.
You got to get up that grease pin.
So. The grease pin.
What is that?
Yeah, and mark up on the screen where the patterns change, so you know exactly when to jump.
No, really?
Have you ever seen King of Kong?
I have not yet.
Oh, well, obviously
that's why you didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a joke.
It's on my to-do list now.
Yeah, you have to watch that movie now that you have a Donkey Kong cabinet.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty sweet.
Then we can see what your family life is going to be like in the near future when you watch that. Because Mrs. Weeby seemed like she was pretty excited about the whole Donkey Kong situation.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Mrs. Shipwreck's actually the one that found it and contacted the people and told me I was buying it. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, she hasn't played it yet though, so I don't know. Her younger sister actually came over and was all excited to she saw it was Donkey Kong, and then she stepped up to the screen and was like, "This isn't Donkey Kong. Where's Diddy Kong and Dixie Kong?" And I was like, "Oh God!"
She thought it was the racing
that,
game.
That was kind of that's painful. But
no,
is she single?
The Donkey Kong Country games.
Oh, okay.
Is she single?
No, she's dating Kamish still.
Sorry, listeners. I was gonna do a win a date with Gretchen's sister contest on the forum.
I don't know how well that one would go over.
You don't think it would go over well?
There might be some repercussions from that. I'm not sure. She likes Farmville a lot though, so she does play games. Yeah, she's addicted to that. She'll come over to our house and she'll disappear for like 15 minutes. That way, she can go do her Farmville.
Yeah.
Is that what she calls taking a dump?
Excuse me, I have to plant some corn. Where were you? Oh, just playing Farmville. What's that smell?
Oh, fertilizer.
Yeah, it's really advanced now, Farmville. It's got a lot of new features. Yeah, that's cool. I like Donkey Kong. I wish I had an arcade machine. I wish I had a foosball table, actually. That'd be
really?
Good. Yeah.
Who would you play with?
Nobody. Where would I put it? Nowhere. I mean, I wish a lot of things, but you know. So I saw the weird thing is like I saw this picture of your Donkey Kong, and it looks like it's in a completely empty room.
There's a piano in that room on the opposite wall.
Okay. So you have a lot of room.
There's two of us and we live in this big 4-bedroom house.
Right.
So we have some empty rooms.
Because in Cincinnati, you can buy a giant 4-bedroom house for like $60,000, right?
Yeah, right around there. Right. Yeah, but so that I actually got permission that could be my arcade room. It's right on the first floor, right when you walk into our house. Like if you go to the right, it's the first room.
People can hear the machines going when they come in.
Well, I turn it off when it's not on. I don't feel like listening. Well. The nice thing about it is it has an attract screen, but no attract background music or sound effects or anything.
That's cool.
So it doesn't make any noise unless you're playing it. But I still turn it off whenever I'm not playing it, which erases my high scores then, though.
Oh,
you can't do that.
Well, it's either that or just make the screen get burn in and stuff.
Like, yeah.
I guess it's a...
So what's the next machine for the Shipwreck Arcade?
Super that's what I was going to say. There's somebody selling a super hang on for $250 locally, and the listing says that it works.
Ben Gilbert, by the way, wrote that question in for you.
Yeah. Which super hang on? It's the one where you actually sit on the bike and lean left and right to steer. So I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's like the that lame might take a version of Afterburner.
It is the lame version of Afterburner.
It is the lame version of Afterburner.
Yeah, I'm that's actually headed.
You need one of those because those things are badass.
The thing with arcade games, like Donkey Kong, works well because it doesn't take long to play, and it's got like changes slightly every time you play it.
You need elevator action.
That was a great game in the arcades.
Yeah, that one could work.
Or you know what else I loved in the arcades? I love Popeye.
Popeye's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one you should look for too.
Well, it's kind of like Donkey Kong though. I mean,
it is. It's very similar. I always wondered why Nintendo didn't re-release Popeye, but reskinned with Mario and Donkey Kong and the princess.
Mm. Right. All right. Should we move on?
We should move on.
But it's a great idea. There's money to be made there.
Let's. You know where else there's money to be made? In the new releases. Now,
I guess we're doing 2 weeks of these, huh?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really like. I just posted. There wasn't really anything big come out this week.
No, nothing came out this week.
Well, so we'll do like the 2 weeks. So next week, and still next week, there's really. By the way, this is confusing for people because next week, this week, I mean, we'll just talk about the recent releases. So I guess the Grand Theft Auto add-ons are coming to the PS3.
PS3 and the PC.
Okay.
We've talked about those before.
Yep.
Because we've played those. And the big one is Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction for the 360.
What about that Nier game?
It's terrible. I played it. I mean, I played it at TGS. It just seemed terrible.
What game?
Nier. That's not out this week.
Nier. That's not out yet.
It's a couple weeks from now.
I'm just looking at
that's at the end of the month.
See the dates on the right.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this list is so long.
No. That's what she said. The Xbox Live Arcade game is Final Fight Double Impact.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's that look?
It looks okay. I mean, it's like a remade version of it.
It has another game in it, though, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Gosh, what else does it come with? I don't remember.
Not as well known arcade style game.
I used to love that game.
Yeah, it comes with Final Fight and Magic Sword.
Thank you. I was going to say something with swords, and if I was wrong, I would have looked stupid.
Right.
Yeah, but. This is so confusing with these dates, but that one comes out the week that this podcast comes out, and nothing came out on Xbox Live Arcade the week that we recorded this podcast.
I think, I'm still up in the air whether I'm going to... I guess I got to buy the Tom Clancy game, but I'm not terribly thrilled about it after playing the demo. Like, it seemed like it was okay, but maybe, like, the multiplayer will be fun. I don't know. It's hard to know.
I feel like I need to stop getting stuff for a little while because I have so much that I need to finish.
That's the other thing.
I have Heavy Rain is coming probably tomorrow from the Gamefly people.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I'll be able to start playing that. I got Tekken 6 over the weekend.
Wait. We're doing... How did we get into your personal collection? We're doing the new releases.
Because we're talking about new releases. Because the new releases suck. And what I have sitting next to me on the desk is more interesting.
It is.
I know.
Shipwreck, do you agree?
Tekken 6? That's some interesting crap right there. Let's talk about that.
I also got the Monster Squad on Blu-ray.
Wait, back to Tekken 6.
You're just jealous because you don't have Monster Squad on Blu-ray. Wolfman's got
it. Watched it yet? I want to have Monster Squad on Blu-ray, but I want to see what you have to say about it.
Okay, yeah, I should have watched it. It's short. It's only 82 minutes. For those who haven't seen this movie, this is one of the greatest movies of the 80s, if you were 10 years old when it came out.
I don't even know what it is.
You've never seen the Wolfman Has Nards movie, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The three kids, they fight Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the creature from the Black Lagoon, and the mummy. And we need a virgin. We need a virgin.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever saw it all the way through.
Oh, it's good.
It's a good movie. At least it was when I was 10 or so, whenever I watched it.
Is it better than Friday the 14th?
Anything is better than Friday the 14th. That movie's terrible.
I know. All right.
And, you know, they made a sequel that's even worse.
Oh, no, that's what I meant. Saturday the 14th.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you meant. Yeah, so I know what you meant, and they actually made a sequel to that movie, which was that awful movie, which
Sunday
was
the 15th?
No, just Saturday the 14th, part two.
Oh. I did not know about that. Okay, we could spend all day talking about shitty movies that aired on HBO in the mid-80s, you know, 10 times a week. I mean, I could do a whole show on that, because I've seen them all, pretty much.
Coming soon, new podcast on cheapassgamer.com, right. The 80s movies that were shown on HBO cast.
Right, we're going to see the first week one, we're going to talk about Midnight Madness and Summer Camp Nightmare.
I loved Midnight Madness.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
All right, so is that it for the new releases, Ship?
That is it. There's nothing. It's April. Nothing. There's hardly anything this month at all.
Okay, so let's talk about the CAG news and shopping news. Wait, I sort of made this section sound really uninteresting. I got to come up with a new title for that. If you want to read a really interesting post on CAG that probably shouldn't have been, it's funny for all the wrong reasons. I put up a post about the CAG's most ordered games during the first 3 months of 2010 via Amazon, and it basically turned into some of the most awful PS3 fanboyism that you could ever read. I mean, it's all it is a list of the 50 most ordered gaming items from people who ordered through CAG's affiliate links on Amazon. And you got this guy who's basically like, I don't even know what he's accusing me of. It sounds like he's accusing me of falsifying the list to make the Xbox 360 look better than the PS3.
I also like that he only refers to you as the OP.
Right. He doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't seem to understand. I don't even think he read the post. I think he just saw a list that had more Xbox 360 titles than PS3 titles. And, you know, had to go to town saying that the Xbox 360 is terrible. Anyway, there's a link to it on the front page. I highly recommend you reading it. It's quite entertaining. I wanted to ban the guy because he's just so awful, but it's like a car wreck, you know? You just sort of have to read it. I don't know. I would read it to you, but it's probably not necessary.
It's not. It gives people something to do while they're listening to the show. They'll scramble and you go, I got a good old site and type it in.
Exactly. Some contests that we need to wrap up. Wishlist Wednesday. We have three winners this week. Johnny Honest, G. Curbello, and Gamer4432. They've all won the games of their choice off the CAG wishlist. If you want to enter, just go to the contest section on CAG. You can't miss it. And also last week's $60 Amazon gift card winner and winner of some Just Cause swag is Caniac Prime. So congratulations to you. We'll be in touch. And also I want to remind people to enter in the $2,000 GameStop gift card giveaway. We're giving away two $200 GameStop gift cards over several weeks. Every Friday, we're giving away two of them. So you can also enter that through the contest section on CAG. Very exciting. And yeah, okay. That's it for...
That's it. There's also a couple of other little things. Again, as we mentioned, follow UGO.com on Twitter for a chance to win some Astro A30s. Which are really nice. And also, if you post in the forum thread for this show, you are entered in for a chance to win a Prison Break the Game prize package, which includes the game, the season one of the DVD of the TV series, as well as some officially licensed Prison Break soap on a rope.
Nice. And some salad tossing tools.
It's some salad tossing tools. I have some extra soaps on a ropes also, so some other people are going to win just soap on a rope.
From your personal collection?
From my personal collection. It may smell like anus, but, you know, look what
they
do.
Right. It's your anus, so it's worth it.
It's exactly.
Some video game deals I do want to mention. On the front page of CAG, we have the latest list of $10 to $20 gaming credit bonuses with over at Amazon for pre-orders. And some of the latest additions to that list are Super Street Fighter 4, which is pretty good because it's a $40 game and you get a $10 credit. Singularity has a $10 credit. UFC Undisputed 2010 and Split Second and Nier all have $10 credits. And Halo Reach has a $20 credit. So there's a huge list. Check it out. People love them. Order everything. Thank you. Nobody loves it more than me. I'll be honest with you. Okay. So now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, where we talk about our friends over at GoDaddy and the great coupon codes that they have for you to register your web hosting and domain names. Isn't there going to be some music accompaniment?
You have to start.
All right. So if you want to get 10% off of any order, use coupon code CAG10. If you want $5 off a $30 order, use coupon code CAG5OFF30. And for $6.95 domain names, use coupon code CAGDOMAIN. That's GoDaddy.com. Thank you. Yeah, people have been using it. So I want to thank all of our listeners who have been using it. Got to get that money. Get that paper, that GoDaddy paper.
Yeah, actually, I got an email from someone who had a good idea for a website.
Oh, yeah? What was it? Oh, you can't tell, probably.
Huh?
It's probably a secret. You can't tell.
No, it was a CAGcast question. He emailed it so we would talk about it. It came from the Jersey Kush, who wants to know why there isn't. He wants a website that just talks about games that are under $20.
Yeah, it's great. Mm.
$20gamer.com is what he was thinking the site should be called.
Well, I highly recommend you register the domain name.
Through GoDaddy. That's why I was bringing it up.
Yes, definitely do that so we can get paid and then never speak of it again.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah, I don't know where you thought I was going with that other than there.
You should probably register like a couple domain names.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't just register one. I mean, it's like potato chips.
Exactly.
Potato chip video games. You can register that.
Right. All right. Let's move on to multi-platforming, etc. Now, Shipwreck mentioned earlier in the show that he was in New York, and he was in New York for a very good reason. He was invited by EA to come check out Crysis 2.
I was, and which was very nice of them, by the way.
Yeah, I also like to say, that is very nice of them, and I would also like to say now I'm the only one out of the three of us who has not been on a video game junket.
Your time will come.
It will?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it.
Will my wife let me go? That's the question.
That I can't help you with.
Right. Okay.
Well, Crysis 2, obviously none of us know anything about Crysis 1, right?
I've seen it in action.
Right. You saw me play it at E3 at that Windows 7 event where I spun around in circles looking at the floor.
But we couldn't figure out how to do anything.
I think I shot some trees.
Like, yes.
Those
are nice
besides,
trees.
You know, the first Crysis was on an island. It was a first-person shooter and it had gorgeous graphics, right?
And you had sort of like superpowers.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that going into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you have this, the first thing we did was I was there as part of the community section. They invited community and they invited press to this event, but it was kind of two different events in one.
The scrubs and the people and the VIPs.
Actually, the community people get better treatment and more stuff to do.
Oh. First of all, what hotel did they put you up at?
I was up at the Soho Grand Hotel.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very nice hotel. They have $10 gummy bears in the room.
right.
That I didn't want, like, EA would have paid for those if I wanted to try to see if I could fit them all in my mouth at once.
I dared you to do it and you didn't.
I know. I didn't. I mean, they'd already paid enough for me to come out and look at this game and talk about it. I don't think I needed to have them buy me $10 gummy bears.
Right.
But so the first thing they had for the community people was since not many console gamers have like much of a grasp on what the Crysis series is, and Crysis 2 is coming to 360, PS3, and PC. They brought in a lot of console-centric media community outlets, and the first thing we did was get kind of like a crash course in what Crysis 1 was all about. So, like I said, took place on an island, looked pretty. Shot stuff, trees fell down, buildings blew up, a lot of destruction and everything. And like you said, Cheapy, you have this nano suit that lets you do all these powers. Like you can go like a cloak device, so you're like kind of like Predator and everything. You can move around and people can't see you. You can turn on like this heavy armor option, that way you can absorb more bullets. You can do super speed, and you can do like super power, like melee type stuff. So they showed us all that stuff. That was really cool. They gave us a chance to play Crysis 1 a little bit if we wanted to. I did not, since I knew that I would just make a fool of myself trying to play it.
Right.
So then after that, they took us to the main event that the press was invited to, and that was in this theater that was in the Tribeca Grand Hotel. And there were a lot of press there. It was typical of one of the bigger meeting rooms at E3. The ones that you don't go to, Chibi, because they're too crowded.
What do you mean? What was that one that I walked out of because it was too hot?
You walked out of the Brink one last year.
Yeah, we walked in. I saw like Jeff Keighley was standing, and I was like, I'm leaving. See you later.
Right. It was about the same size as that, so Chibi has a reference and nobody else does.
Right. It's about 30 people.
No, more than that.
Oh.
It had to be close to 100 people at this thing.
Oh, there wasn't 100 people on that Brink thing.
It was a lot. It was crowded like that. Shut up. Okay.
It was hot.
Just go with it. Right, this one wasn't hot. It was nicely air conditioned. But they showed us some of the same videos that have been out there from GDC that showed all the graphical enhancements and how great it looks, which this game looks amazing. Like not just the PC versions, but the console version. Like, if this isn't the best looking 360 game, it's right up there. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that
really
quite looks as good as this. Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
But it's on the PS3 too, so I'm assuming it looked just as good on the PS3 or?
Well, they did the demo on the 360.
Okay, so you don't know.
So they said, I asked them that question because actually in the GDC videos, the PS3 version to me looked slightly better looking than the 360 version did.
Okay.
But they were demoing it on 360, so, and they said that they were going to be pretty much the same. So obviously, if they're demoing it on the 360, they're pretty happy with how it looks and everything. They showed us the new trailer that everybody will be able to see by the time this podcast goes up, which shows that this game is no longer taking place on a tropical island, which I'm thankful for because they've kind of handled that territory with this is Crytek, so they did Far Cry 1 and they did Crysis, which both took place on tropical islands. And then
Far Cry 2 looked pretty good.
They did not do Far Cry 2.
Oh, they didn't do Far Cry 2. Okay.
No. That's why they went off and did Crysis.
Okay. Wow, so this game's been worked on for a long ass time.
No. They did Crysis 1. Crysis 1 came out in 2007.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then they did Crysis Warhead, which was a follow-up to that. But we don't know these things because we're not PC gamers.
Yeah.
So they showed us the new trailer, which shows that it's moved from that tropical setting to New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so much different setting. Still has all the same type of destruction and everything. And did you know that there were aliens in the first game?
I didn't really know much about it.
Right. Like, in the first game, you fought North Korean troops, and then you... Apparently aliens showed up and you were fighting the aliens. This time around...
Well, that's just every game.
Right.
it's either aliens show up or zombies show up.
Yeah, so this is aliens. One of the aliens show up games.
Okay.
And it's set in the future sometime. I wrote the date down, but it's sometime in, I don't know, the next... It's in the 2000-somethings.
November? So,
November, yes. There are two different factions, or so it seemed, on with the humans in addition to the aliens in this game, but they wouldn't go into the details on exactly what the storyline was.
Why don't you tell everyone what you did while they were showing you everything in the big conference room?
I sat there and watched attentively, and I was kind of tired for a brief second. My eyes closed for a second. Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
Well, that's what's happening to me while you describe the game, but go on.
Is there multiplayer in this?
They aren't talking about multiplayer at this time.
Because that's the big question. Because, you know what, it's sort of hard to, when a first-person shooter comes out these days, like, if it has no multiplayer, it's...
There's going to be multiplayer. Yeah. Like, they haven't confirmed it yet, and I'm just assuming that, but the PC versions had multiplayer, so I'm going to guess this one's going to have a multiplayer as well.
Okay.
It looks really good. Like, the parts they demoed were very short, but you could tell that, like, there was a lot of detail that went into everything, and, like, the environments looked interesting in the way that there's a section where the guy kind of gets, that you're playing, gets really beat up, and so he's kind of like stumbling around, and you don't have all your powers, that type of thing. So it felt like it was pulling you in very good. And then after that event, we went to eat at Carmine's, which is an Italian place right in Times Square.
It's a family style Italian place, pretty yes. famous. There's a couple of them, I think.
Yeah, I think there's two in Manhattan, but it's good.
Yeah, they brought us like 27 courses of food. Like, it just kept coming.
Who else was there? Cool. Who else did you meet?
Besides the EA and Crytek people, or
yeah, like the people that we might know.
I met Lono from is it Lono or Lono?
I think it's Lono.
Lono,
From U2?
From U2. He's from Sarcastic Gamer.
Yes.
And I met one of the guys that runs Xbox360achievements.org. And
Lono's the guy that wrote some like mean stuff about me on his website.
Yeah, we discussed all this when I because he was on the Montreal trip. We went through that then too.
You talked about me, you mean?
No, you said the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did I make the U2 joke then also?
No, that was new. Good. That's why I didn't stop you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. And then there was some Crysis community like fan sites, and then there was achievementhunter.com. And there was a few other sites.
Where'd you go for lunch while you were there?
Oh, I went out to lunch with Wombat twice. Nice. So
did he take you to a hot dog stand with really uncomfortable seats and no air conditioning?
We skipped that.
That's his go-to place, you know.
Yeah, we went to the corner bistro and had some burgers. It was good. And then the second time we wandered around Soho and found another burger type place, and Sean Norton from Sandbox Strategies joined us for that as well. But we went to Times Square though, because they showed the trailer for Crysis 2 up on one of the big screens in Times Square.
What, you're kidding? And they schlepped everybody over there?
They just the community people.
I see.
Yeah, which the thing about that was that was kind of cool that I noticed, like, the trailer was a shorter version of the one we'd seen earlier in the day, which was fine and everything. But all of the Crytek people and the EA people were there, and the CEO president and like the big guy at Crytek, he is the executive producer. Like, he's like the driving force behind everything at Crytek.
Oh, John Crytek.
Yeah, John Crytek. It's Savat Yerli is his name.
No, really, what's his name?
Right.
My joke was funnier. I
felt so bad. I talked to him a bunch, but I can never remember his name.
I wonder why. How do you forget that name? Crevice Yerli. How hard is that to remember?
His name is Shabbat Shalom,
right?
Like, he's a young dude. He's 32 and is in charge of Crytek. Like, it's pretty crazy. But I was watching him, actually, while the trailer was running, just to see what his reactions to it was. And
he was sleeping also?
No. You could tell he was genuinely really excited to see it there. Like, he's a super nice guy, really excited about talking about his game and everything. And like the following morning we went to a community breakfast, which had all the Crytek people there, and he was sitting across from me. I talked to him briefly there. But the main guy I talked to was a novelist. I'm not sure. He's a science fiction novelist. His name's Richard K. Morgan. And he was brought on board to write the story for Crysis 2.
Right.
Because apparently the Crysis 1 story wasn't all that well received. Mm. So I sat and talked with him for about an hour just about just like gaming in general and what he found interesting and like what
he's British.
What other games? What?
He's British.
He is, he's, I think he's originally from, the UK. I don't remember if he's British or not, but he has a British accent.
Yes.
But he's lived in a ton of different countries. He actually, he taught English in a bunch of different countries before, writing novels and everything. But I am excited to, like, they gave us one of his novels to read. It's Altered Carbon, which I'm about a quarter of the way through so far, but it's pretty good, so I'm excited to see.
There's also a sequel to it called Broken Angels.
Yeah, the thing about Altered Carbon is, it to me, it's very intuitive to read. It's kind of like this futuristic detective story where they bring people back and they put them in other people's bodies, and they call those sleeves. And there was this point in this game where the main character's been put in a new sleeve, and he's been interviewing people, and there's all kinds of sexual tension and everything. And then he goes to bed at night, and I was like, well, that's odd. You would think like he would rub one out before he fell asleep, just in this new body, just to try it out and everything. And the next paragraph, he was masturbating. And I was like, right.
Did he get some on his sleeve?
No, it didn't mention the climax.
I got the joke. That's funny.
Portion of it.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get the joke either. But yeah, whatever. Never mind. but I'm excited that the story should be pretty good too. So,
all right. Yeah, when is this game coming out?
This fall, okay. Holiday 2010. So, not it. I mean, it still has some time to look better, and it already looks pretty fantastic.
Cool. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I like good-looking first-person shooters.
I think this is going to be right up your alley, Cheapy. Like it looks good, and there's lots of stuff blowing up.
Good. I could use some more action in my alley. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. All right. What else we got? So thank you for EA for sending Shipwreck out there. I always find it pretty amazing that they spend the cash to get people out there. And
For this event, I think it was worth it, though, because honestly, before the event, it's a PC shooter. I'd have no interest in it. But after this, like, I can talk about it to other console gamers, and like, it becomes a viable title then, I think.
It'll probably spawn at least 10 purchases, I would think. I mean, at least 10.
At least 10.
Dozens. Don't push it.
Dozens of purchases.
And by dozens, we mean
10. We mean no more than 12.
None. Millions. Millions.
All right, what else do we have for multi-platforming type things?
I finished off Just Cause 2.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I'm 27% complete, but I finished the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't even realize I was at the end of that game, and then it, like, there's only 7 main missions in that game.
Oh, okay, but there's like a million faction missions.
Right, right. Yeah. So I was just doing stuff that was close to me, and it just kind of like took me to the end game.
Which it makes no difference, though, right? Because like, it's not like the story is so great, and like, now that the story is over, the game is not any fun. Because if anything, the story is the worst part of the game.
Story just gets in the way.
The story gets in the way. Although it does make for some entertaining moments with Wombat doing impressions of the Reaper lady.
The Reapers.
Maybe the most over-enunciation of any voice acting in any video game.
Yes, sir, Dadu.
What?
All right, Hyundai.
I don't get it.
You didn't play
the... Hyundai, right. She says, yeah.
You didn't play the yellow people?
the ones who talk like Rastafarians, but they're Asian.
They call everyone Sir Dadu.
I don't know. Like, I sort of zone out during those cutscenes. It's amazing how like the game. Like, I was talking about this with my friend Jean, and he's like, "It's amazing how the game."
Jean Snow.
Yes, and how you can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at JeanSnow.com. That's
I do.
JEAN.
SNOW.
French John. SNOW. Right. It's amazing how like gorgeous the game is, except when you get to the cutscenes, which you think are like the easiest things to make good looking, and then it just sort of falls. The whole thing just falls apart.
They released free DLC for that today. Unless you're listening to it, they released free DLC for this 4 days ago.
Right. It's an ice cream truck. It's pretty exciting.
with like a cow trap on the front of it, though.
Yeah, it's the game is awesome. I like I said, I highly recommend it. It's just so fun. Have you grappled an airplane to a truck yet? Like while it's trying to take off?
Because that's
pretty
not.
Fun. You can no. You know how like they have like if you go to an airport, there's somebody else flying a plane, and you can watch it go down the runway and take off. So there was yeah. it was a jet fighter taking off, and there was like a big like truck. Like a tractor trailer, like the front of a tractor trailer, and I just grappled the jet to that while it was taking off, and it just totally like it made the thing like flip over and crash and into a tree and just explode. It was pretty awesome. There's a lot of those fun moments.
You know, there was a little girl on that plane going to visit her grandma.
It was a jet fighter. It was a no. But that's a it's a great game. You're always just discovering new stuff in there, new vehicles.
Did,
like,
you, oh. did you go to the Mile High Club yet?
Yeah, I went there. We talked about it last week. Yeah.
Well, who didn't? It was Shipwreck who didn't. Did you go yet?
No, I was there.
Huh. We all went.
Then yeah. we all went.
Not in real life, but in the game.
No. Did you 100% it?
No. I was just checking it out, and I took off. Yeah, but I love it. I love that game.
The nice thing, they know they don't care about the story either, because after you're finished with the story, it just spits you back out in the world, and you can do everything you want to do still.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. it's I've just been playing that and Battlefield 2. I mean, Bad Company. It's an awesome game. I'm addicted to that also, as well.
Yeah, I've also been playing some MLB 2K10 since the baseball season started this week.
Uh-huh.
Last week. This is so annoying.
Right, I told you guys to not even pretend, just to pretend. You don't mention dates. Podcasts are timeless.
Right, so... Baseball started sometime recently.
Yes.
And so I've been playing it. Mainly I've been playing the creative player mode, the my player mode, I think it is, where you only play as the one player. So I'm a left fielder, and so I only play on defense when there's a ball hit out to left field.
That sounds incredibly dull.
No, it's addictive, because it's just like... There's just little short spurts that you play, and then you get to hit too.
But you're watching. You're mostly watching.
No.
What do you mean? No? It's
the fielding stuff's quick. I mean, you're just waiting for one pitch, and then they pitch it, and they hit it out to you, and you either go pick it up off the ground or you catch it in the air. I mean,
well, what happens when they don't hit it to you?
You don't watch those parts. It only only gives you. No, you don't watch those parts.
Oh, that's like, cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Other than like. Like the score is constantly changing, so the next time you come up the bat, you're like, oh crap, we're down 3 runs, or...
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like, I've almost gone through an entire first season. Like, it starts you out in AA, the minor leagues, and it took me 22 games in the minors to... Now I'm the starting left fielder for the Reds.
Does MLB The Show have that feature?
They have a similar feature, but I don't know how it works because I haven't played that.
There's a demo for that. You should check it out. It's a pretty impressive looking game.
Oh yeah, no, the show looks like graphically much superior to MLB 2K.
I can't imagine, because it's so good looking.
Yeah, but I'm having fun you get to add like by getting hits, or like if you get a single, you get 25. Skill points or whatever, and then you add those to power up your character. Like, you can level them up like RPG style and all these different stat categories.
What's your player's name?
Fielding and running. What?
What's your player's name?
It's my name. It's Robert Good, but the announcer calls me Big Red.
That's awesome.
So wait, can you choose what the announcer calls you out of set words?
Yeah, it's a list of stuff. Okay. I went with Big Red.
I obviously. Why wouldn't you?
Do they have Jewish Thunder? Because that Wombat could use that.
And I would.
But so that's good. And moving on to Sony, I guess. You guys been playing anything multi-platforming?
No, I mean, I've just been playing, like I said, I've just been like playing hours and hours of Battlefield. In fact, I would like to use this opportunity to challenge. I know that the joystick guys play a lot of Battlefield. And unfortunately, you two don't, but... I would like to challenge the joystick Battlefield team to a battle in Battlefield with the CAG versus the CAG crew.
Yeah, I just need to get the 360 version. I have the PS3 version.
Yeah, just get it. It's so good.
I know it's good. I oh, going back to the crisis event thing real quick. It's not about crisis, but I sat across from at dinner. I sat across from one of the main advertising guys from Dante's Inferno.
Oh, okay.
And we discussed at length like the strategy with that game and how all of that kind of negative press it was getting was brilliant for that game.
I wrote an article about it.
I know. That's why I brought it up. I thought you would have enjoyed talking to him, but I did instead.
No, I would have.
You know what I would have really enjoyed? If they bought ads on CAG. That would have been the most enjoyable.
Or if
they had sent us stuff.
Right. How come I didn't get like used tampons and stuff? And checks?
They sent checks to the editors of
Why didn't they send GP checks?
Exactly. I would have given it to Wombat.
Yeah, he would have given it to me.
But I would have wiped my ass with it first.
I still would have cashed it.
I've got his info, so I'll ask him to send you a check.
Please. It's not too late, you know.
It's never too late for $200.
Right. All right. Let's move on to Sony.
Yes. You guys been playing anything on your PlayStation consoles?
No.
I have Tekken 6. I've been playing Dead or Alive Paradise. PS3 sitting next to me.
Great.
Dead or Alive Paradise.
Yeah.
I like this game a lot.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. I had to explain this to a bunch of people at the event this week when they asked we were having discussions on what we were playing and everything, and of course everybody thought I was an idiot for liking this game. And I admit I probably am. Like, it doesn't faze me that I know that most people think it's a terrible game.
Is it volleyball still?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a remake of the original Dead or Alive Extreme that was on the Xbox.
Right.
But they added some of the features from the second game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all the pool hopping and casino and volleyball stuff. There's a new girl, though. The first redhead.
Oh, nice. What's her name?
Rio.
Wow.
Yes. Something about her dancing on the sand.
Japanese and redhead? Oh, Rio.
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 She's Brazilian.
R-I-O.
R-I-O. Yes. I get it now. I get the joke.
Yeah. Good.
Just like a river twisting through a dusty land?
Yeah. That's her. You know her.
Yeah. We've met.
So I really like that game. I lit a fire out in my fire pit out back of the Shipwreck Mansion. And, of course, Mrs. Shipwreck was not around. She left. So it's the perfect time to play the game.
Right. How romantic.
It was very romantic.
You, a PSP, nice a going. Bottle of Vaseline, and a towel.
And <it's>, right. I don't even find that game erotic in the least. Like, I just.
So what do you like about it exactly?
It's all about the mechanics.
Exactly. I like the mechanics. The game mechanics. It's a dating simulator. Basically, like you're trying to get these girls submissive enough to take gifts that they don't want to accept. That's the whole game.
For Shipwreck, who's only dated one girl in his entire life, it's kind of like getting to live outside that for a brief moment in time.
Right.
I literally had a deer walk up to me when I was playing outside, not 3 feet away from me. It just stared at me.
So why the hell are you playing this stupid game?
Even he knows that game is crappy.
That's what I thought. I was like, don't judge me, dear.
Right.
Go away.
He's just like, I'm going to play Battlefield. He hooked me up online if you want to play with me.
He said, hey, save some Vaseline for me.
Frag Buck 360 is my
my gamer tag.
Yes.
If you use up your towel, feel free to use my fur. I'm here to help.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go take a poop on your lawn.
Right. I'm going to poop in your fire. All right.
So you're the only one who likes
Dead or Alive Paradise, I guess.
Yeah, there's a glowing review coming out for it soon.
Excellent. You'd be the only one, I guess.
I probably will be, but I can't help that I like it.
You're allowed.
You'd be writing
like
a fact.
Well, the fact still basically works from the first one that I wrote.
You should make sure in your review you put a link to it.
Okay, I will.
Hold on, wait. I got to ask Shipwreck a question.
Oh, God.
Without looking, what would you say is the Metacritic score for Dead or Alive Paradise?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to quiz me on
the girl's luck. No, we did that last week.
Yeah. A 51.
35.
God. Ugh, nobody, why do I like this game so much?
No, nobody gave it above a 5 out of 10. Or a 50. Mm.
We're giving it higher than that.
Like that. You'll be the first one.
Well, I'm all glad right. You like it.
Yes. Okay. Let's move on. One thing I just wanted to talk about briefly here was there's a new firmware upgrade. Upgrade for the PS3, whose only purpose is to remove the option to install another operating system. Which I guess anybody who did use that, and I don't know anybody personally, but I guess you could install Linux on there.
Yeah, so it took me hour and a half to take out a feature.
Yes.
Like it didn't do anything besides that.
Right.
Yes.
That was it. And Sony claimed that it was done for security reasons. That's why they removed it. Now, of course, what happened soon after that was a hacker came up with some custom firmware for the system in which you could now have that feature back, basically. And I was talking to this about Super Programmer John, who follows, you know, the hacking community pretty closely, I guess mostly because he's a programmer and a gamer, so that stuff interests him. And he was talking to me, and I'm trying to get him to write an article about this, but I guess, you know, he's pretty busy. But we were talking about, you know, like before Sony did this, piracy was never a problem on the PS3. Like people just, it just wasn't an issue. And so I asked him, you know, how come? Because we know it's a problem with the PSP. We know it's a problem with the DS. We know it's a problem with the Xbox 360. But somehow the PS3 managed to avoid the whole piracy problem. And of course, the PC. Huge problem on the PC. So he said there's a few reasons why piracy was never a problem. First, the first and maybe the biggest reason was that piracy is so easy on the Xbox 360. And there's really only, how many PS3 exclusives are there really, that it just never seemed to be worth it for people to bother to hack the PS3. Because most of the games, they already have a hacked 360, you know, these hackers. So why even go through the trouble of hacking your PS3 just to play a handful of games? And the other reason is that to get a Blu-ray disc, a writable Blu-ray disc costs $25. You might as well just buy the game at that point if you're going to spend $25 to buy a blank disc to burn it on. Of course, there's ways where you can just, you know, with a 360 now, you don't even need to burn the games onto disc. You can just hook a hard drive up and load them right off the hard drive if you have a hacked 360. But because there's like a limit to how big of a hard drive you can actually fit into a PS3 can actually use, and the size of the games are so large, like you only be able to fit like 10 games on there anyway. So it's like just not worth it. And the other excuse that people use for sort of like hacking systems is that they want to program their own stuff for it. You know, the whole homebrew scene. But John says like it's the homebrew guys have the same problem that game programmers have, regular professional game programmers have, is that the PS3 is difficult to program for. So it's just something that they're not interested in. But because Sony decided to take out this operating system feature, they basically gave hackers a reason to start fucking with the system. And now it's done. So it's, you know, it's pretty funny how...
you mean somebody's made a custom firmware.
Someone's made a custom firmware, and they really had no reason to do it before this.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean that piracy is rampant on the PS3.
No, absolutely not. But it just means you just got hackers interested in your system when they didn't give a shit before. You know, because pretty much anything is hackable.
That was a real exciting 10 minutes.
I think it was pretty interesting. You don't think it's interesting?
I do. I'm just giving you shit because it's funny. Yeah.
No, I don't. You're hurting my feelings.
Aww.
Anyway, I'm trying to get John to write up a whole post about it. And then you can make fun of that, too. You can be the first comment.
I'm not going to make fun of John. I'll make fun of you.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with this, but it's sort of ironic that Sony took this out claiming that it was for security reasons, and now they have a security problem. All right, let's move on to Microsoft, okay? Unless you want to, well, why don't you, somebody mention this Metal Gear Solid thing.
Well, I just think it's such an interesting deal. I mean, it's a custom, a really nice looking camouflage, the big boss pack, which I like better than the, there's the ultimate pack and there's the big boss pack. And the big boss pack, which is only available at GameStop's for $200. So less than the PSP Go. $50 less than the PSP Go. You get a really nice camouflage PSP, a 4 GB memory card, a case, a carrying case, and the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker game. Why?
It's not bad.
That's a pretty good deal, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
All right. I won't be getting it.
No, but I just, you know, if you're holding out on buying a PSP for some reason at this point, but you really want to play this Metal Gear game, that's probably going to be the best way to go.
Is anybody really holding out on buying
a PSP? I have no idea, but I just thought it was interesting that they're selling this, you know, really nice bundle for less than a go.
Yeah. You know, one of our listeners, and I didn't pull what he said exactly, but I did go back and listen to the clip. He said that like 2 years ago, I started talking about how Sony should release a PSP with no UMD drive and just focus on, you know, and just have flash memory when you can focus on just downloadable only games. Although I said it should be more on games that are like simpler, like sort of pick up and play games, not like basically full blown PS2 like games.
It's the timing that was the problem with the PSP Go. The PSP had been out for too long.
I think it's a price issue. I think at $250.
Well, no, that's part of it too.
Asking
that's
someone to replace the library they may have already built.
Right. It should have been like this from the start.
Right.
I mean, it's a perfect, as Cheapy mentioned before, he used the phrase "perfect storm," and that is a perfect storm of everything you could do wrong.
The PSP Go.
Yeah, the PSP Go. Oh, they released it. It's going to cost more. It doesn't have any real features that your current one doesn't have, but you can't play the games you already bought on it.
Right. It is weird. It was a weird call. I mean, and if it came out that way from the very start, it would...
I think it would have been successful.
If they released the PSP Go as the first thing, you know, first, 5 years ago... As it is now, yeah, that thing would have been gangbusters, but they didn't.
Because that show that when that listener, and I'm sorry I don't have his name handy, and you know, it was from somewhere sometime in 2008. And think about like if the PSP Go is just, you know, from day one, and you know the media features of the PSP are so strong, you know, compared to the DS, and really like. You know, and even very comparable to like an iPod Touch or an iPhone. You know, it really could have been a very strong system. It's unfortunate that they just did everything in the wrong order at the wrong time. It was January 2008. Maybe I'll pull the clip and play it at the end of the show.
That would be wonderful.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Let's move on to Microsoft. The big, big news is that the Modern Warfare 2 stimulus package, that's the five maps for $15 pack, sold over 2.5 million copies, digital copies, obviously, in the first week. So that's what, like 35 million or something like that? Dollars?
Yeah, no, I knew where you were going. I was going to ask you that, and yeah, it sounds about right.
That's pretty incredible. I mean... It's $37.5 million. Yeah, that's quite a nice haul for maps. I mean, think about how much those maps cost to make.
Some of them were recycled.
Yeah, two of them were from the old game. I mean, that's profit. That is a lot of profit right there. Pure profit. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But you knew it would... I mean, could you be surprised? I mean, the game sold a lot of copies and...
Yeah, right now
Tony Hawk's
planning his war game right now.
Right. And also in the world of Microsoft, the new Mass Effect DLC, the Kasumi Stolen Memory, came out, and Shipwreck played it and finished it.
I did. I downloaded it when I got home from work tonight, and I finished it an hour later.
Did you buy it, or you got a? You must have got
one. I got a code
from your girlfriend.
It might have been a dude. I don't remember. Some your not, boyfriend. Not from. Yeah, no, it wasn't from Christina. It was from PR.
Oh, okay.
I like the new character. She's kind of fun. She definitely has her own personality, but it's essentially one mission. It's a loyalty mission. It's very similar to Zaid. You go and you pick her up. There's no like really recruiting her. It's just you go and she's on your team. And then you go do a mission, and the mission's good. It's fun. She's a thief, so it involves kind of like breaking into a well-to-do museum owner's house type
of
thing.
So is it on a planet you've already, an established, one of the city-type planets that you go back to do a mission, or is it someplace new and unique?
There's a new solar system that shows up on the map, and you go to that, and it's on a new planet. But it's the only thing there's other planets you can scan and get minerals or whatever in this solar system, but it's the only one you can land on. There's no, anomalies or anything.
Oh, the milk your wallet way? Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. That's a joke.
Yeah. It's $7. It's tough to say whether it's worth $7 or not.
Well, here's the question. Good. If they had released that and say they did that, the Hammerhead pack and the other outfits, and did all that for $7, would that have been worth it?
Yes.
Okay, say they didn't release the Hammerhead pack for free and they did bundle that with the Kasumi pack for $7, would that have felt worth it?
Yes.
So I guess you could justify the purchase of... I mean, it's just so...
Right,
yeah.
Right. I think you can, because they've given you the other new mission for free. It does give you a new weapon. It gives you... I found a new, tech point type thing, a tech research point. I think that's basically all the new stuff there is.
It's a power, right? Don't you get a new power?
Oh, well, you get her power if you get her loyalty mission.
Yeah, what is it?
It's concussive grenades. She's got a cloaking ability, so she can get up behind people and hit them in the back. I liked it. I like playing it. It's short. It's really short.
I mean, I've said it before. Just once you finish one of these games, I don't know that an extra 45-minute add-on pack is really enough to get me back into the game again once I've completed it. You know, yeah, it's just hard to, I don't know, it's not that exciting. I always go back to that Saints Row, stupid Saints Row pack I downloaded for $10 that was just when it ended after 40 minutes or even less, I was like, that's it? I mean, I was all excited to get back into this game.
And yeah, I'm a little disappointed that this one doesn't have the two-part mission where you have to find her and that's a mission, and then the loyalty mission, that's the second mission. Just to have the one seems like a big kind of letdown.
Yeah, that's what I thought they might give us. I mean, you go and talk at the first place where you recruit her, but it's not
she hot or there. What she like Japanese and hot.
She's I would guess she's Japanese just because of her name, but she's got her hood pulled way down over her eyes, so you can't really see her too much.
Nice cans.
Yeah, they're fine.
Good.
They're fine.
Space cans.
Yeah, they're space cans. She's not as smoking as Tali is, but similar body build.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, Wombat, you got me a code, and I don't think I would have played it. I mean, I still might not even play it, even though you
somebody,
got me a code.
Somebody got you.
Where'd you get it from? Oh, Christina got us the code. Well, that was very nice of her. I just, like I said, it's... I don't know if I want to go back there for just a 45-minute dip. You know, I would need a whole new add-on. That's long. I'm talking several hours.
Yeah. When you go and talk to her in the ship, she's a little bit better than Zaid is, but it's still not you can have different choices in the conversations. but she does pick up on stuff that has happened throughout the game. Like she knew that I was with Tali, and just little stuff like that she talks about. But she lives across the hall from Big Blue Boobs, like on the other side of the ship.
Oh, okay. I mean, I really wish they did something like they did with Dragon Age, where they released that whole new game, basically. How come they can't do that?
Because that would be awesome.
Right.
Well, I think we'll see Mass Effect 3 sooner. Like,
is that what they're doing instead?
I think so.
I don't know. I just it's hard for me to get excited about DLC like this. It's just it doesn't seem, you know, it's a question of the cost, and it's a question of, like, I don't know, is it really, like, do I really just want to go back and play Mass Effect for another 45 minutes? Probably not.
Oh, I'll play anyway.
Okay, you'll play it. I'll think about it since you got me the code. Anything else in Microsoft?
I just thought it was interesting that they're doing the same thing with the game room that they did with the Hasbro night, where that counts as one game. So now the live activity for last week shows game room as number one for XBLA games. Game room, number one. You don't have to buy anything. It could just be people playing demos.
Oh, I see. Well, it says that purchased games.
Well, if once you downloading the game room shell counts as a purchase.
Does that count?
That's a purchase.
It doesn't say that.
It does. That counts.
It says combined sales of all game room titles. And it says full versions purchased.
Yeah, I think this is it. Just so added up all the sales from all those different
titles. But
even
still, I'm surprised that it's number one.
Like, it's new.
People are buying Jungler and Lunar Lander. By the way, I did play Lunar Lander for like 10 minutes.
Did you buy it,
though?
Can't
lie. No.
Exactly. You can play it for free on Atari.com.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to check it out. I'm like, oh, I remember this game. I don't even know if I actually ever successfully landed the Lunar Lander in the arcade.
I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I've ever successfully, ever.
I did it on here. I was able to do it on here somehow.
That's your Top Gun moment?
It was pretty exciting.
Landing the plane in Top Gun on the NES is impossible.
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
I love that game.
The game is great until you have to land the plane.
I landed. I was able to land it.
You just have fuzzy memories.
Occasionally I could.
Occasionally you could do it on the easier levels, I think. But I played that game a lot. I mean,
left,
I put the time
left,
into
up,
it.
Up, 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 up.
Yeah, you always had to make sure you had enough guys because you knew you were probably going to lose one when you had to land.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to Nintendo.
I can't go anymore up.
I got the Game & Watch Collection 2 from Club Nintendo. I cashed in my 800
what do you have on there?
Or coins. What's on the Game & Watch Collection?
Yeah, on 2, yeah.
On 2, it is Octopus,
Manhole,
and Parachute.
Just those two?
Just those two, and then there's a combined Parachute and Octopus where you do the parachute part at the top where you're catching the guys parachuting out and catching them in the boat, and then on the bottom screen you're diving from that boat to get the treasure that's past the octopus.
Well, that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it for a free, basically free little game, it's neat to have. I mean, it's
I
not going to keep
my,
me entertained for very long.
Somewhere I have my GBA version of Game & Watch, which I think both those are on.
Okay, I mean, they're cute little games.
I love those
Hooray.
Game & Watch games.
Yeah, they're okay. I want to take this comment from listener Cursor. He asks us, do you remember the promise of new DS games that use the hardware in new and different ways? Now that we hear there's a new DS coming out with 3D, would you agree with me that the DSi is officially a stillborn stepchild, albeit a profitable one for Nintendo? Nobody's going to develop for the DSi with the 3DS around the corner, are they? And anyone who already started is going to look at either scrapping the title or converting it to a 3DS one. Of course, there's also the possibility that the 3DS will be stillborn too, with Nintendo too worried that they will segment their market by making games not work on, and therefore not sell, on the DS Lite. I say, fuck Nintendo and Sony, and do your mobile gaming on the new iPhone that'll come out this summer. That's what I say. I've been saying that all along. I was saying, like, you know, it's hard to get excited about $30 and $40 DS and PSP games when there's plenty of good stuff on the iPhone for a dollar or $2 or $5 or $10.
I think it really depends on what kind of game you're looking to play. I still think that you want to play it like an old school RPG, you're not going to get that on your iPhone. But
they have them.
You're going to get a better one on your DS.
Shipwreck, tell them about the old school RPGs on the iPhone.
They're not all that great.
Oh. All right.
How good are they on the DS, though?
They're excellent on the DS.
That's right. So you know what you could do, Chibi? There's this little thing that people do, mostly, I believe, in Latin America. It's called fucking yourself, and I think you should do it.
Why in Latin America?
I don't know, because that was the first place I thought of. Samoans do it, too.
I actually was going to use this to segment.
And by Samoans, I mean the cookies.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to use the segue into the iPhone stuff and iPad. Do you have anything else for Nintendo before I do that?
No, let's move on.
Okay. So iPhone, they released their information on the operating system 4.0. They had a press conference today. Basically, the biggest feature is multitasking of sorts. It's basically like it's not really true multitasking. It's you'll be able to do certain things. Like in the background, like listening to music and doing voiceover IP. It's really just will like pause your place in other apps. It's like sort of like pause and start and pause. You know, the developer versions are already out, and Super Programmer John already has installed the developer version of 4.0 on his phone. And he said it's actually the multitasking stuff works a lot better than he thought it would. He said it's very snappy. So that's something good to look forward to. Although I have a 3G and it will not work on the multitasking stuff does not work on 3G, only 3GS. But whatever the new phone is coming out, I'm going to buy it immediately. So I guess it's not that much of a problem. And also the iPad came out.
Did you not want to talk about Game Center at all for the iPhone?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Game Center.
Yeah, I figured we would talk about that.
So basically Game Center is Xbox Live for the iPhone.
Yeah, basically the Open Faint guys probably had a coronary today.
But how could they not see that coming? I mean, it's pretty like.
Well, you know, they were sitting there. They were all excited to learn what iPhone 4.0 was going to hold for them, and then.
Right. They were going out of business.
Yeah, now they're out of business. But
I guess maybe they were hoping that maybe Apple would buy them at some point. And then they would, that was really their only hope, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good little system, but it's the same thing with, like, if not all the games have it, then what's the point of.
Right. So it's a unified system where you can do matchmaking and leaderboards, right? And achievements?
Yeah, achievements. It's got all the Xbox Live goodies in there.
So I'm assuming it's going to be free. So
I think so, yeah.
So that's great. I'm excited about that.
I wonder if Gamefly will have to change their app now, because the name of the Gamefly app on the iPhone was Game Center.
Oh, yeah, they probably will. Interesting. Why don't they just call it the Gamefly Center?
Just call it Gamefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gamefly app.
I don't know why they didn't, but.
Yeah, let's just call it Gamefly.
I tried out the iPad in New York City at the Apple Store.
Kuru-ku-ku-ku?
That thing's pretty neat.
You're an Apple fanboy.
I am, but playing, that's a fun device to play around with.
Is it like nachos?
Sometimes. Like, there's different nachos.
You know, everybody has a different opinion on what kind of nachos are ruling. But most people agree on this one point, that the concept of nachos is awesome and incredible. You have to Google iPad and parry grip.
Because we've only referenced it about 90 times this show.
Yeah, I guess we maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It's a great. Yeah, it's the best song of all time.
Yeah, but it's fun to play. It's super snappy because it's not an iPhone. Like, there's actually some processing power behind it.
Uh huh.
And I played some games on it. I played Rock Band and I played Plants vs Zombies. And then there were some of the games were just the iPhone games that run at double the resolution, I guess. So the Simpsons arcade game and There was a couple other that I played. Oh,
Plants vs. Zombies?
I already said that one. That one's made for the iPad, yeah. I believe. Because you can tell the difference with that one. The flight game you like?
Flight Control.
Yes, they had that on there as well. So I
all the prices of the games on the iPad are much higher than on the iPhone. So it'll be really interesting to see how long it takes for those prices to come crashing down. And I'm guessing not that long.
Right. It's gonna be the same type of thing where once all the free stuff gets out there and the dollar stuff, then everybody has to adjust their prices to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, if this thing was cheaper, I'd be all over it. It's a neat little device. It does look really cool. Yeah,
if it had a camera, I would definitely buy it.
Yeah, that's
what
the
do you need
thing.
A camera on it though for?
Because I do video chat with my parents all
okay,
the time.
Okay, that makes sense. That'll be an iPad 2.0.
I could see that too. I could see us using that to do video chat with my wife's parents in Florida.
Ty would like it too. Ty uses my iPhone all the time. There's a lot of kids stuff out there for there, like puzzle games and flashcards. And he really just like when we're in a restaurant and he gets a little bored, I just hand him the iPhone and he unlocks it himself. He finds the game he wants and goes to town. He's very good at. There's a game called Tozzle, which I highly recommend for if you have a toddler. It's like a puzzle game. Kid goes to town.
We have something on the because my wife has the BlackBerry that looks like an iTouch but isn't. There's something on there where it looks like the phone's on, but when you hit the buttons, it just colors fly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so Sabrina plays with that one.
Cool. So, so you're not buying an iPad. That's what you're here to say.
Or for the next iteration of it, I think.
So next year, probably, right?
Yeah, probably next year.
No, this is Apple.
It's just such a cool device.
No.
Yeah. But it was busy in the Apple store, too. I mean, there was a lot of people in there checking them out.
Yeah, I'm going to go check it out, and hopefully I don't fall in love with it when I check it out.
They're pretty slick. I actually, when I was walking around Soho, there were two people that came up to me at different points asking me where the Apple store was.
So, why are you asking me?
Yeah, I don't know.
They said, hey, nerd, where's the Apple store?
Right.
I believe that it's... Wait, hold on a second. Sniffing the air. Yeah, it's that way.
Glavin.
Well, it's near the Kid Robot store.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. I picked up some Futurama vinyl toys from there. But it's kind of like the capsule toys in Japan, cheapy, where you don't know what you're going to get.
Oh, cool.
So...
What'd you get?
I got Mom. Oh. I got... Yeah, that one was kind of disappointing.
That sucks. Is it Mom, Fat Mom, or Skinny Mom?
Skinny Mom.
Okay. So like in the cat suit?
No. I guess it's Fat Mom. It's the normal Mom.
A Mom in the big purple dress.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I got one of the green aliens. I don't remember what he's called. He's the guy with the cape, and they ate their babies for a while.
Oh, okay, yes.
I got him, which I like him a lot, and then
that's cool.
I got three of them total, and the third one was Zap Brannigan, so I like that one.
That's cool too. Yeah, I like that Zap Brannigan and the alien actually, because that kind of goes together too.
Right. I put them up on my shelf. Mom's kind of towards the back.
And... Yeah, Mom sucks, but the other two are pretty neat. I like the alien. It's the king alien.
Yeah, it's the king alien.
Nice.
Yeah, the guy in front of me also bought Futurama ones, and he opened his up there, and he got a Zoidberg, so I knew I was screwed, because I would have really liked a Zoidberg.
Really? I would rather... I love think Zoidberg. I'd be happy with the alien.
I need my human horn!
Well, yeah, but I could have gotten Zoidberg and not Mom.
That's true.
So, yeah.
All right, shall we move on to some CagBag and Twitter questions?
Why not? It's only midnight.
Okay. I just missed them all. All right. Milky Man wants to know, he says, any chance you can spring to get Super Programmer John a Nexus 1 so he can crank out an app, a CAG app for Android? Let's get the iPhone app out first before we worry about Android. Although I'm supposed to get a copy of it this weekend, so hopefully, but who knows? Do I want to read this one? Wolfkin has a question. He basically has a comment about us. He says, hold on. He says, he was complaining about that. We complained that the Mass Effect DLC came out too late. Any chance you guys consider the possibility that your complaints about DLC being too late might be influenced largely by your early adoption? I'm sure there are kegs who wouldn't buy any game released in the last 6 months without a $30 gift card, but Mass Effect, which is barely 3 months old, is getting raked over the coals for being too slow with its DLC. Yeah, I don't think that we're complaining that it's necessarily too slow. They need to open the faucet. It's like it just dripped out. Like a tiny bit at a time. I don't think it's just enough to get me back into the game. And even if we were still playing the game, I don't think I'd be any more excited about adding another 45 minutes to it. It's like a 25 hour game. It's hard to get excited about an extra 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Like how it keeps getting shorter every time I mention it. Don't you think? I mean, isn't that the big complaint here?
Yeah, some of it's the timing though too. I mean,
would you have bought it if you were, let's say you hadn't even started the game yet? I mean, I think you'd be even less likely to buy it.
Because you got the whole content ahead of you already.
Yeah, I don't buy DLC for games I haven't finished.
Yeah. So the problem is really just the size of the DLC. Not the time is only really a small part of it.
Like this is similar to the Assassin's Creed add-ons, right, which were cheaper than this.
Yep.
I hate to break it down like a price per time basis, but I mean, the Assassin's Creed was like $4, $3.50, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, almost nearly half the price of what this is.
But it doesn't even matter, because like I didn't buy that either, and even if I had finished the game by the time it came out, but that didn't even matter. If I was, 10% into the game or 50% into the game or haven't even started the game, it's a pretty long game, and I don't think I really need to spend, even if it's only a couple bucks, to add more to it. Like, it doesn't, like, dramatically change the game at all, because they really can't do that. And, like, why even bother? Even if it's only $3, like, the game's pretty long, and I'll just play the game as it intended. You know, there's really yet to be a piece of DLC that has compelled me to buy it. Other than the Saints Row one that I always bring up and that soured me on everything.
You didn't get any of the Borderlands? Well, you never finished Borderlands.
I never finished Borderlands, and that game's pretty long. Like,
it is long. The DLC for that's good,
though. I never picked up any of the DLC for Borderlands, and I think I would like it. I just haven't.
Fallout you did, though.
Fallout, yeah, I got 4 of the 5 packs.
But you had finished it, and those packs are pretty long, right?
Well, I started, like, there was a time last year. Like, last year, not that there weren't great games that came out last year. I guess I just didn't care that much about a lot of what came out last year. And I found myself just going back and playing more Fallout.
Well, you were focused on it. You loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I was focused on it. I didn't start playing it until, January of that year. So it kind of carried me almost through the summer with all the DLC. So in that sense, it kind of worked for me.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. I mean, and some
things will never change.
Right. Chad FX says, I was wondering what your opinion is on the growing trend is... what is this? The grammar.
He wants to know what we think of 3D.
Right. What's the opinion on the growing trend of 3D movies and soon-to-be 3D games? Do you think that 3D gaming will undoubtedly raise prices in games and push away current gaming customers? And then he also says that Shipwreck is the real star of the CAG and the most underrated CAG member. Congratulations, star of the CAG. I don't know.
That's on my business card this time around, right?
Star of the CAG. Well, yeah, we got to get those ordered. I got to say, I have pretty much no interest in 3D gaming. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we already have 3D gaming. You know, there's depth of field in the games and depth perception in the games. I don't need, like, that 3D effect that you get from Avatar. I didn't find it that exciting in Avatar. And I'd rather just not wear glasses and watch a movie normally. It's just, I have no interest in it. And I don't, I know that they've been raising the prices of the movies, right, of 3D movies. I don't, how much higher can you go in $60 games and expect people to buy them? in mass quantities.
Well, you got to remember, there was a time where, you know, Super Nintendo games and Nintendo 64 games were like $85 a pop.
And how did those do?
Some of them sold really well. Wasn't like Street Fighter 2 like $80?
It was expensive.
I think it was 70, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 70 or 75, yeah.
And that's 90s. Like, that's in the 90s.
Like today, with inflation?
That would be like $1 billion.
Oh, the year 90s, right. Yeah. I don't know. I hope not. I think it's pretty gimmicky, and I'd rather play, in just 2D. Like Howard Stern says, the whole world, I see the 3D every day when I walk down the street. When I want to watch a movie or play a game, 2D is fine. I like 2D.
I like 2D too. I also like Natalie and Joe.
Right. Bong.
Thank you. Bong, I waited for some sort of bong. Reaction. I thought it was somewhat humorous. You know what? Go to hell.
I don't know. Anything else that we need to talk about here?
Nope.
You want to go to bed?
Yep. Shipwreck has been asleep for 25 minutes.
Yeah. Nobody even noticed. Well, all right. In that case,
about 2D.
Yes. 2D. Let's thank everybody for listening, of course, and remind them to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/GBD, twitter.com/wombat5277, and twitter.com/shipwreck. Also, you can get video game deals at twitter.com/video game deals. And if you're in the UK, UK game deals. And we've got those various Yu-Gi-Oh! Things. If you go to facebook.com/Yu-Gi-Oh!.com, you can watch the kick-ass videos. And stay tuned on CAG and Wombat's Twitter for information on the what are those headsets called again? Alpha?
Astro A30s.
Astro A30s, right. Alpha Force. I like Alpha better. And of course, our friends at GoDaddy.com, we've got a bunch of coupon codes where you can use them to save on web hosting and domain registration. 10% off any order. CAG coupon code. Whoops. Sorry. CAG10 is the coupon code. $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $6.95 domain names with coupon code CAG domain. There was no song for that. You must be sleeping.
No, I don't do the song at the end. I only do the song in the middle.
Okay. You don't want to overdo it.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, people rukukukoo. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's it. So we'll see you when we see you. Right?
Yes.
I'll try to do a lot of audio booze, so definitely follow me on Twitter while I'm on vacation and such. If you get lonely, you need more of me.
You shut up already?
Okay, shutting up. iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo-coo, iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo. iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo-coo, iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo. Kids are gonna hate because they don't like the specs, but the specs aren't the point at all. It's all about the App Store and iTunes, the convenient distribution of software and media. iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo-coo, iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo. iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo-coo, iPad, coo-coo-coo-coo. You, I completely disagree. It's all about the specs. Take nachos, for example. Nachos have chips, and nachos have cheese, but the ones with jalapenos are the ones that I'll need.